The Tie That Binds, Elder John Longdon, John Longdon, Conference Report, October 1968, pages 14-17. One of the privileges of being an elder citizen is to reminisce. He who has good memories is richly blessed. As I have contemplated my message today, there is one phrase that keeps returning, the tie that binds. Many poems and articles have been written about the tie that binds. I should like to suggest that the tie that really binds is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way of life it offers mankind, the peace it assures to all who will obey its teachings. The hope and promises for eternal happiness are just exactly what the world needs to bind up its war-weary, confused, tired body. The tie that binds. Important anniversary. May I reminisce? This is an important anniversary today. It was 17 years ago on this very day that a prophet bestowed upon me the greatest honor that could come into the life of any man. Sitting across from me in his home on South Temple, taking my hands in his, he seemed to look clear through me as he said, "Brother Longdon, we want you to be one of the assistants to the Quorum of the Twelve. How the blessings have been poured out upon us, not only since then, but all of our lives. The windows of heaven have truly been opened unto us. The privilege of visiting in stakes, wards, branches, of visiting the sick, listening to those who seek counsel for their problems, performing marriages for time and eternity, setting apart missionaries, and the glorious experience of touring missions all combined to bring rich memories." Tour of South Pacific. Some years ago, I was assigned to tour the South Pacific missions, including Australia and New Zealand. Since then, because of jet transportation, the world has become smaller, but at that time a visitor from church headquarters was not as regular a thing as it now is. Even so, in every country, there were many fine saints who were living the gospel, who, because of their obedience to its principles, had improved themselves financially, socially, intellectually, morally, and most important, spiritually. Wherever we went, there was a bond of understanding, regardless of language, customs, or the color of skin. Visit to Tonga. There is a brand new stake in the South Pacific, Nuku'alofa stake, which I should like to congratulate and welcome into the fold of stakes. That Tongan stake now joins her sister, Apia stake, into relatively remote places of the world. The first time in Tonga, we were on a very tight schedule, so that when we arrived at the beautiful assembly room at the Liahona College, where we were to hold our first meetings, the saints were already assembled and waiting, all dressed in pure white. They had removed the benches and were sitting on the floor on home-woven mats, this to make more room. As I recall, there were over 1,200 assembled there. We were hurrying down the outside of the building to go in and saw them stand as one, 1,200 as one, and immediately there were bell-like tones of gladness and joy ringing out. "We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet," they were crying. We cried tears of joy, understanding tears. We joined in singing, we in English, they in Tongan, "We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet." Immediately, through an interpreter, I explained I was not a prophet but knew they were singing to our prophet David Omakay, and I would take their message back to him as soon as I returned home. The next day, we saw the handiwork at the Sisters in Relief Society that was being assembled for their annual bazaar. This was Relief Society not in Salt Lake City, not in California, Arizona, or New York, but Relief Society in Tonga, teaching the same lessons, carrying the same program. Under the MIA, there were athletic events, dance and music festivals participated in by Tongan folk. Returning to Tonga, while we were there, were 69 saints who had been to the New Zealand temple for their endowments, a tie that binds forever. I shall never forget the spirit of these great humble folk, many of whom sold their earthly possessions in order to gain eternal possessions, husbands and wives with children united as families for eternity. The work in Perth, Australia. Our first visit to Perth, Australia, was at the Christmas season. Perth does not seem so far away today as it did when John Glenn orbited the Earth in his spaceship. It was Christmas Eve in Perth when, with the mission president, we went to the railroad station to bid goodbye to some saints who were leaving to go to the New Zealand temple to receive the same blessings the Tongan saints had sacrificed to receive. We, who sometimes make so much of Christmas in a financial way, were brought up a little short when we asked the parents of five little children, "What about Father Christmas?" The young mother bent down and picked up a small package and said, "It is enough. Think of the blessings we will have when we get to the temple." Later that night, after meeting with the missionaries, 7M men and gleaners caroled for us at the chapel. It was comforting to know that wherever we went in the world, we could have had the same experience. Then there were two branches in Perth. Today, Perth is another of our brand new stakes. Other mission experiences, another experience, How many of us have heard our primary children sing I am a child of God? I think you may not have really heard it until you are met on the pier on the little island of Rarotonga by 32 beautiful Rarotongan children, with brown eyes dancing, truly singing with their hearts, I am a child of God. Another of my assignments has been to help promote the work in the Intermountain and Indian missions. What a revealing experience it is to get to know our Lamanite brethren, how they are growing in wisdom, experience, and spirituality. I have seen many fine Indian men honoring the priesthood and holding positions of leadership in branches and districts, who, months before, were yielding to the temptations of Satan. I have seen these marvelous transitions come into the lives of many. Today they live in better homes and receive better educations. Assignment to British Isles. In the past 2 months, it has been my good fortune to be assigned to work with Elder Spencer W. Kimball in the British Isles, where we have 7 great missions. In Ireland, we saw 50 Irish boys and girls participate in a dance and music festival. They were so happy. It was their first. Next year it will be bigger and better, because the young members are beginning to feel the coalescing spirit of membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That night we met a fine young Chinese man who had flown back at his own expense from another country to take part in the festival so as not to disappoint the leaders. He had been working in Ireland and had been transferred by his company, but he had the spirit of a true Latter-day Saint. Shall the youth of Zion falter? Influence on families. In each of the missions, there were strong testimonies borne by mature members who appreciated the light of the gospel in their lives. I have actually stood by the baptismal font and watched entire families being baptized the same evening and then confirmed members of the church by authorized servants of the Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost, they are beginning to feel the tie that binds. Again, in each of the missions, there was a goodly number of missionaries who, tearfully, thankfully, reported in testimony meeting that inactive parents were now active and either looking forward to or going to the temple, or, if one was not a member, he or she was studying with stake missionaries. Some were waiting to be baptized by returning missionary sons, and then whole families were being brought into activity because of having a worthy missionary son or daughter. At a youth conference testimony meeting, a lovely young British mother told of her children going to the brand new church built in the neighborhood. When she discovered it was the Mormon primary they were attending, she forbade them to go again. However, as it sometimes happens, they did go again and again, and she could see no real harm. One evening as she went up to tuck them in, she overheard her young son's prayer, "Please help me to teach my mom the gospel." Heavenly Father heard that prayer. Today there is a whole new family feeling the tie, obedience the tie that binds. As we flew over the housetops from country to country, a passage of scripture kept recurring to me, that of God speaking to Moses, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." The same doctrine was taught by the Savior in the meridian of time. It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This word of God is contained in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it has been restored to the earth in this day. It is going forth at this very moment in many tongues to many peoples. Obedience to the word of God is the tie that will bind people, cities, communities, states, and nations together. It will tie up the wounds of an ailing world and bring peace on earth. God bless each of us to make this so. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.